Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace, revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
In 2013, the Louisville Cardinals were playing the Duke Blue Devils in the NCAA basketball tournament. Kevin Ware, who played for the Louisville Cardinals, jumped to block a shot, but when he came down, he suffered a horrific break of his leg. When Louisville forward Luke Hancock saw Kevin Ware lying near the sideline with a shattered right leg and the bone protruding out, he initially recoiled like his teammates. Some Cardinals began vomiting, others were crying and were inconsolable. But then Hancock thought back to the previous summer, when he suffered a gruesome shoulder injury in a pickup game. He remembered how others were aghast. He remembered how former Louisville guard Andrew McGee was the only one to rush to his side, to rush him to the hospital. He remembered how much that had meant to him. So as Ware lay there, scared and alone and stunned, Hancock got up and ran over to him. And he held Ware's hand and told them that they would get through this together. He told Ware he would say a prayer for him. Ware didn't respond at first because he was in shock. Hancock took a deep breath, closed his eyes, clenched Ware's hand, and started the prayer. "Lord, watch over us, and let Kevin be okay during this tough time," he began. "The Lord does everything for a reason, and he will get you through this." Hancock said he did all he could to keep from breaking down, to keep tears from falling onto his fallen teammate. He found out later that Ware also was trying not to cry, trying to stay strong for him. Hancock gently patted Ware's chest several times. The two of them together in front of 34,000 fans in Lucas Oil Stadium and millions of horrified TV viewers. "I wouldn't want to be alone in that situation, and I don't think he wanted to be alone," Hancock said. "I just thought if I could talk to him and tell him he'll be all right, it might help." It helped more than Hancock realized, more than he could imagine. Ware said that before Hancock arrived, he was scared. After Hancock touched him and calmed him, he knew he would be fine. "Seeing Luke there," Ware said, "touched my heart. His presence allowed me to refocus and regain my strength." What Luke Hancock did was compassion and love. Believers are called to imitate the love of Christ. Like Luke Hancock, we are called to be a people of love in action, to reach out and to be there and to help others in need and to react quickly when the need is urgent. We see a portrait of grace with a leper that the Lord healed in his earthly ministry, and we see the love of Christ in action. Mark 1:40 says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The Lord was ministering in Galilee at this time, preaching in synagogues and healing and casting out demons. As he was doing so, a leper came up to him. That's something to take note of, that the leper came to the Lord. This was a violation of the law of Moses concerning lepers. This was a bold, courageous move by the leper. The law commanded that he was to shout out, "Unclean," to keep people away and warn anyone that he was near. But instead, this leper was so determined and so hopeful that he ran right up to Christ. In Luke's account of this miracle, he described the man as being full of leprosy, or he was literally covered with it. This was an extremely serious, acute case of leprosy. This being so, he truly was a dead man walking. He was experiencing a living death. The word leprosy is translated from the Greek word lepros, which means scaly. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew term for leprosy means to rot, and that's what was happening. A person with leprosy was someone who was literally rotting away. Scaly spots develop on the skin. Leprosy results in open sores, ulcers, pus-filled lumps all over the body, which emit a horrific stench. The face and various parts of the body swell, and they look malformed. Leprosy results in missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. The hair turns white. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. It can destroy the eyes and cause blindness. It causes teeth to fall out. It penetrates all the bodily organs and affects the larynx so that one winds up with a weak and raspy voice. In biblical times, the effect of this communicable disease was so severe and the potential for wiping out the population was so great that God laid down very strict instructions and commandments about it for Israel in the law. Those with leprosy were required under the law to tear their garments so people would recognize that they were a leper. Over their upper lip, they had to wear a cloth to not spread the contamination, and they were commanded to shout, "Unclean, unclean," whenever they came into contact with other people without leprosy. Leviticus 13, 45 to 46 says, "And the leper in whom the plague is shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." This man experienced a sad existence due not only to the physical ravages of the disease, but also because of the exclusion from society and family required by the law. And so he lived in isolation and loneliness, without love, without hope, without the simple joys and dignities of life, of being smiled at, being greeted on the street, buying fresh fruit at the market, talking politics by the public fountain, worshiping in the synagogue, celebrating holidays with family. And that's what was most painful of all, was that he was separated from the blessings, the love, the acceptance of home, away from his spouse, away from his children, deprived of the time and daily life spent with them. Leprosy brought anguish at all levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. If this man would have scribbled out words on a sign to hold up, it would have said, "Unclean, unwanted, rejected, unloved, isolated." This leper hears that Christ is near and in Galilee. And he had heard, as verse 34 says, that he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. The hope of his healing sent him looking and searching for the Lord. Once he finds him, according to verse 40 here, the man came to Christ beseeching him. In the original Greek, this is in the present tense, which means that he begged and implored the Lord over and over again. It took courage to come to Christ in public. If anyone was near, we can be sure that they would have gasped in horror, retched and recoiled when they saw him, covered their mouths and noses, and scattered. His coming took courage, and he came to Christ with humility. Verse 40 says that when he came to the Lord, he humbly fell to his knees and was kneeling down to him as he begged the Lord. Luke adds that who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. He came to Christ, fell on his knees in the fervency of his begging and the anguish of his heart. He fell forward on his face before the Lord. And as he begged, he asked for Christ to heal him, to cleanse him of his dreadful disease. He professed that he believed that Christ was the answer to his problem. With a raspy voice, he implored the Lord, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And he said that over and over again. The leper here appeals to the Lord's will Without presumption, he says, if you are willing. And without doubting his ability, he says, you can make me clean. And the leper humbly begged the Lord to heal him. The leper believed Christ was able. He expected nothing. He didn't bargain with the Lord, saying something like, if you do this for me, I'll follow you. He merely presented his great need to him and left it with whatever the Lord's will was. Only twice does the Old Testament record that God cleansed a leper, Miriam and Naaman. Yet this leper was convinced by faith that Christ could cleanse him. He just was not sure if it was his will to heal him. And this verse, very simply, is a great example of how to bring your requests to the Lord in prayer. We do so with great confidence and faith in the Lord, in his power and ability to answer our request. At the same time, we pray with a humble submission to the sovereignty of God and his will and his wisdom in answering our request, knowing that he knows what is best for our lives. Essentially, the leper was telling Christ, Lord, if you are willing, you can do anything. This is what I want, but I don't know if it's your will. The leper came to Christ, humbled himself before him, made his request, repeated it out of the anguish of his heart, and he left it in the hands of the Son of God. He made no demands. He had no basis for his request other than to appeal to the power and mercy of Jesus Christ.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Studies in James is a paperback 156-page commentary written by Pastor Paul M. Sadler. The Epistle of James is a practical guide on Christian ethics. Although James is addressing his countrymen, there are many timeless principles found in this forgotten pearl of the New Testament. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Mark 1:41-42 says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Christ saw this man's deep need, and he felt his anguish. While everyone else was repulsed by the leper, Christ was moved with compassion for the man. And this moved with compassion, it means that it gripped him deeply. He felt the agony of his exclusion, his isolation, and his pain and suffering. It was common for Christ to be filled with compassion in his earthly ministry. Mark 6:34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." It's been said that sympathy says, "I feel bad that you're hungry." Empathy says, "I know something about how you feel. I was hungry once myself." Compassion says, "Let's go get something to eat together." Sympathy and empathy don't require us to do anything, but compassion requires us to act. It will cause us to touch, lift, and help those in need as Christ did for the leper. Out of the Lord's compassion, he acted. Out of his compassion, Christ was not only willing to heal the man, he did the unthinkable. He reached out and touched the man that society had regarded as untouchable. In other instances, Christ simply spoke a word and the miracle happened. He healed once by a spoken word from a distance of 20 miles with the nobleman's son. But in this situation, he chose to touch the leper. Why? The Lord did not have to touch people to heal them. All he had to do was speak. But there was something this man needed that others didn't. This man needed more than just healing. And his suffering and heartache, he needed a touch of compassion. He knew that this man needed this just as much as he needed to be cleansed of his leprosy. And this was not a tentative touch or a pat on the arm that the Lord gave him. The Greek word used of the Lord putting forth his hand and touching him literally means that he reached out and he fastened and he adhered his hand to the leper. He grabbed his shoulder and he held on tight and gripped him. That man had not been touched for years. This was the first loving touch that the leper had felt in a long time. Can you imagine what that meant to him? One author wrote this: to touch a leper was unthinkable. Banishing lepers from society, people would not get within a stone's throw of them. In fact, they would throw stones at them if they did come close. With their open sores and dirty bandages, lepers were the last persons anyone would want to touch. Yet the first thing Christ did for this man was touch him. Even before Christ spoke to him, he reached out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine what that scene must have looked like? Think how this man must have longed for someone to touch him, not throw stones at him to drive him away. Christ could have healed him first and then touched him, but recognizing his deepest need, Jesus stretched out his hand even before he spoke words of healing. Moved by compassion for this man's physical sufferings, as well as his emotional anguish, Christ touched the untouchable, loved the unlovely, and cured the incurable. Both the touch and his authoritative pronouncement, "I am willing, be clean," that constituted the cure. And it was immediate, complete, and visible to all who saw him. A touch, a simple statement, a miracle, and that man's life was changed forever. Mark 1:43-45 read, "And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Christ wanted the man to maintain focus on what was important at this moment. The Lord gave him a charge to not tell his cure to anyone. I believe the Lord was giving him a temporary prohibition here till he had traveled to Jerusalem and had been pronounced clean by the priests. This man who's in the north in Israel and Galilee is told by the Lord to go thy way or to make the journey to Jerusalem, which would have taken him a few days, and then to show himself and his cleansing at the temple to the priest and to follow what the law dictated. Christ commanded the healed leper to observe the law and its regulations concerning cleansed lepers. He needed to first show himself to the priest as the law required. Healed leprosy required one to go to the priests, who were the health inspectors, you could say, for that disease. And until the priest declared him clean, and until the required offerings had been made, the man remained ceremonially unclean. Christ lived under the law, and he kept the law perfectly, and he commanded others to keep it and to do what it required. When you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're under the law. This is law ground in your Bibles. The Gospels is instruction written to Israel under the law. Today, we, the body of Christ, are not under law, but under grace. We find our grace instruction from Christ in the letters of Paul. While the Gospels were written to Israel under the law, we should never neglect them, as today we find many, many principles in them to live by. We learn about our Savior here, and we see His love, we see His mercy, that we, the body of Christ, should seek to imitate under grace. Being under the law, Christ wanted this man to offer for his cleansing those things which Moses commanded. He wanted the former leper to uphold and fulfill the law, follow its mandate, in order to re-enter society as a whole cleansed man. And the phrase, as a testimony to them, is interesting too, what the Lord told him. Christ was urging the man to allow his healing and his restoration to do the talking, and to have that validated by the priests. This would send a message directly to the priests and religious leaders in Jerusalem that something special was happening and someone special was in their midst. The cleansing of the leper was an undeniable messianic sign. The priests and scribes knew that the Messiah would heal lepers, according to prophecy. Christ's words of saying, as a testimony unto them, speaks of how if the priest declared the leper clean, but rejected the one who cleansed him, their unbelief would be incriminating evidence and a testimony against them. So it was important for the leper to follow through in this, in light of him being a testimony to Christ's messiahship to the Jewish leaders. But the man's so excited. And instead of obeying Christ's command to silence and to go first to Jerusalem, in his exuberance, the man went out and talked freely and openly, making it known far and wide the story of his cure. Christ told this man to say nothing, and he went around and said, told everybody. The enthusiastic witness of the healed leper resulted to the point that Christ was not even able to enter into a town openly without encouraging large crowds seeking his healing and help. So then he withdrew from the crowds because Christ did not measure success by numbers. But even when he withdrew to remote places, the people kept coming from all directions. This story is a portrait of grace in salvation. Leprosy in the Bible is symbolic of sin. Like leprosy, sin is terminal. Like leprosy, sin makes us unclean in God's sight. Like leprosy, sin spreads and sin defiles. A leprous person had to be isolated outside the camp, and lost sinners one day we'll be isolated in the lake of fire outside of heaven. People with leprosy were looked on as one dead, Numbers 12:12 says. And those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior are dead in their sins, Ephesians 2:1 says. What we learn from the account is that in our sins, you're the leper. I'm the leper. The leper is a picture of each of us outside of Christ. The pain, anguish, heartbreak, and suffering of one with leprosy is a picture of sin and the consequences sin brings to our lives. Anyone who has never trusted the Savior is spiritually, though, in even worse condition than this leprous man was physically. And like him, we are covered with leprosy, filled with the leprosy of sin, and we need to be cleansed and made whole. And Christ is our only hope. And like this man, we must come to the Lord humbly, by faith, and as it were, to throw ourselves upon the mercy of Christ, the one who is able, the one who is willing to cleanse us from all of our sins. In this account, it's revealed that what Christ could do in the physical realm, he can do in the spiritual realm. He can cleanse leprosy, and he can cleanse sin. As he was moved with compassion by this man in his leprosy who came to him in faith, he is moved with compassion toward us in our sins when we come to him in faith. And when he cleanses us completely from our sins and makes us whole. When Christ healed this man, he was healed instantly. And that's the way it is with the miracle of salvation. It is not a process. It happens in a moment of time when you place your faith that Christ died for your sins and rose again. Instantly, you are saved and made whole. Our misery and condition in our sins is worse than we think. And the compassion, mercy, and love of Christ is deeper than we can imagine. Christ loved the unlovely, that unlovely leper. And Christ loves the unlovely sinner, and that's all of us. After being cleansed by Christ, the leper would need a large sign to recount all that Christ had done for him. And it's the same things that are true of us in our salvation, because when we are saved by Christ and cleansed from our sins, we can hold up a sign that says, cleansed, loved, accepted, included, alive. The leper had been hopeless. Now he had hope. He had been homeless. Now he could go home. He had been rejected. Now he would be received. He had been experiencing a living death. Now he was alive. And for us, spiritually, we had been hopeless. Now we have hope. We had been homeless. Now we have a home. We were alienated from God. Now we are received. We are accepted in Christ. We were spiritually dead. Now we live. We were afflicted with the leprosy of the soul, the condemnation of sin. Now all of our sins are washed away. We are cleansed and we are made new in Christ.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.